chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
It is 7:36. You're listening to 100.5 FM. Good morning. I'm Ray Richardson. Thanks for joining us. We're broadcasting live from the RowAutoGroup.com studio. Don't forget, our McVetty's Hearth and Home text line is 207-409-6172. You can find out more at stovesofmaine.com. Before we get to our guest, I just want to publicly apologize to Dave Chulo of Career Management Associates. 2 weeks ago, he very graciously stood on hold. I didn't realize it. Sarah Parshall Perry stayed with us for an hour. I blew it. And then we were down to Washington. So, Dave, I am truly, truly, truly sorry to have been so disrespectful. And I know we've been friends a long time, so you deserve better from me. Sorry about that. Brad Dyer's here. Dee Dee's off to Bible study. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone. No worries, Ray. No worries. It happens. You're a busy man. You're the man.
Busy talking. Man. That's it.
Now, Sarah was just on fire, and the next thing we knew, it was 7:50, and so we went from 7 to 7:50. I didn't even realize it because she was so on fire. So, but that is no excuse for me being rude to you, and I apologize for that.
No worries. No worries. You know, I'm in HR. This is standard operational procedure. Come on.
Hey, there's a lot of truth in that, huh?
They're very forgiving in HR until they're done with you.
Yeah,
no,
we
it's
are.
Over.
We are. We forgive. We don't forget.
That's right.
You know what? I have no doubt about that. And I'm sure that I will pay for this at some point down the road.
They hold all the records.
Because Dave understands revenge is a dish best served cold.
I heard that recently.
So, yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on. I mean, it's fine. There's just nothing going on in the employment ward. It's very, very slow, very, very quiet. Right? There's just a lot going on.
So lay it on us, because I'm genned up this morning. So I'd like to get a little more genned up. Lay it on us.
Well, you know, first of all, I'll tell you, and again, there's not a lot of new news in regards to the Maine paid leave at this point, right? Family medical leave. There's not a lot of new. The information just came out in regards to if you are going to do a private substitution plan. And so I have not had a chance to go through the entire information that's just come out. But even with that, I've been told by the team that has been gone through some of, there are still some questions. But there does appear to be this situation that if you do get a plan and you sign that plan before the actual April 30th, because they're supposed to approve that plan in the month of April, you sign it before March 31st, then you would be able to not have to pay after April 30th in regards to continuing to pay into the state plan.
But let me remind everyone.
However, as you know, right, you still can't get that money back you put in.
That's it. You can't get the money back. So you pay into it. You have an approved plan that you're able to get a waiver on. You pay into it for 4 months, and they won't give you the money back. And so you're paying for the plan you have, plus you're paying the state plan. Once again, Janet Mills is the most reckless governor spending-wise in all of Maine history, and she will take any penny from anybody she could get. If it was the last penny somebody had, she would take that.
Let me give you some perspective, Dave. Good morning. This is Brad.
By the way, Brad's going to call you.
Yeah, good morning.
He needs some help.
I'm going to give you a call a little bit later, and then I might have a question on air for you. But I'm negotiating some teachers' contracts right now in our RSU, and I obviously be cautious about what I say here. But, you know, I found it interesting, and these are public meetings. Oddly enough, nobody ever shows up to these. But we come to the table, and there's always, you know, little issues you got to deal with, and you know, most of them are pretty fair. And one of them was this paid leave, and I suspected that it was going to be something that was going to be celebrated. I'll tell you, it wasn't celebrated at all by the reps at the table. They're looking at it as a pay cut, and this is a pay cut, and you know, and of course, I think they're being directed to try to get the districts to try to pay for it. And it really is, it's a tax. People have to understand this is a tax on top of money they're already getting. This isn't a pay cut. And they're very upset about the Pay Leave Act. In fact, more than just the pay cut, they said, we're not going to take advantage of this. We're professionals, we're hardworking people, and we don't think this is appropriate. And that really struck me. And then what else struck me is that we, as a district, and no knock on our pros there, because our leadership are pros, we didn't really have great guidance on what to do with it. We're just like, what are the rules?
There wasn't good guidance
right?
on this thing.
Yeah, we talked about this last year.
You know, it's, and again, I also am going to be very careful what is said, because we do work with a lot of different clients, and they could be in that type of industry. So right. I'm always careful, as Ray knows, of saying anything. So I don't want to tip any hat to any different direction, but I'll simply say that is not the first time I've heard this. That is not the first time I've heard this in other aspects or other industries. Mm. And I will tell you that, just like the polls seem to be inaccurate in regards to the election, the polls seem to be fairly inaccurate in terms of the popularity of this new program.
I think so, yeah.
And so, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave it at that, only because we are involved in some different things like you're talking about, and I am going to stay neutral, 100% neutral because of that. I'm sure you both understand that.
Yeah, this is a neutral question. I haven't seen any polls. Now, I did leave town to go to the inauguration. What polls are you referring to?
If you look at from the just a conversation. I'm calling polling the people I talk to, hundreds of people around the state, right? Yeah. I'm not talking about actual polls.
If you listen to this audience, they were angry because it was a pay cut, except this time the employer didn't cut your pay.
Right.
The governor of the state of Maine cut your pay.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. You know, if you listen to even this is fairly quiet on the media. I find that fascinating, too. It's not getting as much attention as I would have expected it to in the mainstream. And it's just not from that perspective. And so anyways, from my perspective, the reality is that you do have this opportunity to not have to pay after April 30th. And you don't pay for the private plan until the private plan goes into effect, which would be whenever it goes into effect in 2026. So you do have this reprieve. And for some organizations, that could be millions.
Yeah.
That's no joke, right? This is millions of dollars, I'm sure. Some of these systems and larger employers, and I will say even school systems, we're talking millions of dollars in regards to what it will cost. And you do know, I'm sure, that there is a lawsuit by BIW and the state chamber in regards to that 4 months of putting money in and you can't get the money out. So that is right now being filed. So
I
don't know more than that.
Yeah, we've talked about it here. It is among the most dishonest things. Among a mountain, Mount Everest of dishonest things that this government does. So you have a plan that allows you to get the waiver, but because they are so inept at their job, these are Ray Richardson speaking, not Dave Chula or Brad Dyer, and they're so inept, they had 18 months. I mean, a damn monkey could have gotten on a typewriter and banged out the plan in 18 months, but for some reason, the Department of Labor couldn't do it. We don't know who's administering this. And if you do have a plan, because that's what you're able to do as an employer, they're going to take your money and then not give it back. So you are in double jeopardy here, and they find this to be full of integrity. These are the most dishonest clowns in the state of Maine, and we elected them to public office. It's just unbearable.
Amen. I'm with you.
Well, you know what's interesting is that really there are other states, 13 states, I believe, that have these type of plans already. And, you know, this is why the private plans, I've been talking to brokers across the state that we work with from a benefits perspective. And these plans the private plans are becoming very popular. And they're becoming very popular because they're, give or take, approximately the same amount, and I want to be clear, could be less, could be more, depending, of course, what industry you're in or the risk spot or all that stuff that has to be looked at. But the reality is they get it. Like, they've been doing it for years. They are competent. The programs are all set. So I'm certainly not implying anybody else isn't competent. I'm just saying that they've already done this and they got everything's in place. So it's strange that we wouldn't have done that. I do know there was a major insurance carrier advising the state. I don't know if that's still being done in regards to how to set it up, but that's where we're at today. That's just where we're at today.
The easiest way this could have been done and the most competent way was my idea, not because it was my idea, but because it was a good one. You could have had the insurance commissioner, for the purpose of law, redefine disability to include these 12 weeks. And then the short-term disability plans would have covered all of this. Not everybody would buy them. If an employer wanted to offer it as a benefit, they could have paid for it. They're not really that expensive. But absolutely, positively not. Janet Mills needs money, as does the Maine legislature. They're going to sweep money from this program because it does not pay benefits for at least 16 months. And so they figure, well, people just keep paying, and it's another Ponzi scheme. It's dishonest. It's really harmful to the state. And this is on top of the 6 paid days that employers have to offer every year. You can take off for whatever reasons. You want to run down Congress Street naked, you can take off and go do that. You don't have to have a reason. They just keep making the employer daddy. But if daddy wants to put some rules in place, well, then all of a sudden you get sued by the employees. This is the weirdest relationship between government and its people. I mean, it's incomprehensible. Academic historians down the road are going to look at this period of time in the state of Maine's history and wonder what the hell we the people were doing allowing this to happen. It's unconscionable.
Well, short-term disability is another topic of conversation, only because a lot of employers are looking as whether they're going to continue to carry it.
Right.
Now, they will probably carry it once you reach the threshold of over, I believe it's 130 or somewhere in that range. I don't have it in front of me, but which is the max you can have in regards to the paid family. So in this case, they may keep it for certain levels, but they are going to, you know, have to say that's a 0.5% or 1% that they're going to have to claw back somewhere. I mean,
right.
It's not free money. It just doesn't pop out of the sky. So, you know, they're going to have to take it from somewhere.
Well, any employer out there right now, if you have 15 or more employees, you have to pay a 0.5% of your total payroll to the state of Maine to do this. That is not an inconsequential amount of money. And it every week or every 2 weeks or how often you pay your people, but the annualized number is quite large, thousands of dollars for anybody with over 15 employees. And the governor of the state of Maine just stood up there in front of the people and told us how hunky-dory everything was. She's just unbelievable. I've known Janet since 1998. I have always liked her. I don't even recognize this person. I've never seen a transformation in a person that I've seen in Janet Mills in her 6 years of government. She stood before the state and told us, Dave, you know this better than I do. She said 17,800 businesses were created last year.
What?
That's what she told us. 17,800 businesses were created last year. That's what she said.
There's no way.
Dave, did you have that demand for employees?
Well, you can make statistics look like anything, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, what is the old saying? Statistics don't lie, statisticians do.
And I will be kind to you and say that can be applied by the audience to anyone they choose. Yes, it's just it's so maddening.
Right. I mean that's an old saying, goes way back, but I suppose you can make a stat look like anything.
So let me ask you,
and
this
we all know that.
Yeah, you're in the HR business. You are acknowledged as the top outside HR firm in the state. Were you aware that wages have gone up 25% in the last 6 years? Were you aware of that?
Well, it sure feels like more than that. If you really want to ask employers, then the answer would be, I don't have the stats of what the real number is, but that does seem high. You know, I would simply say that it certainly has gone up a lot in the last 5 years, and that's not a question. In certain industries, I'd say it's gone up 50% to 70%.
Well, yeah, you can always go to certain specifics here, but if you look at the census numbers for household incomes, over the last 6 years, they've climbed about $5,500. That is not 25%. That's what the census says. Now, I realize it's another corrupt government institution, but, you know, that's all we have is corrupt government institutions to go by.
That's correct.
So,
Well, you know, I know we don't have a lot of time to continue to talk about it, but
yeah,
I will tell you that there are a lot of things happening on the federal side as well, you know, in regards to what's happening from executive orders and so forth. And there is a lot of things that are coming down that may or may not, and I want to be very clear on that, may or may not initially apply to the state of Maine, because Maine has its own laws in some cases that may continue to, you know, may continue some of these areas. But one of the things that we're seeing in regards to DEI, right? And there's this misconception that the government has mandated DEI, and there's a misconception the government is saying that you can't have DEI. What they are basically saying is that federal employees and, in some cases, federal contractors need to look at those programs and determine whether or not they are using them improperly to hire to do the judgment. And then from a standpoint of affirmative action plans, which are done by federal entities or contractors or subcontractors, that these are being changed based upon some of the executive orders. I want to be clear, they are not going away. There are aspects of it that are going to be stopped. But at this point, we're still collecting data for the full thing because there are also going to be a lawsuit on them. So I just want to make sure federal contractors, subcontractors are in the state of Maine know that while there are changes happening, and we're going to be talking to employers about that in the next couple weeks, that right now you should be collecting still your data while we wait and see what happens in the long-term area of this. But bottom line is that if you have DEI, you don't have to have DEI. That's a choice that an employer makes. There's never been a mandate saying that. Because I get calls, do we have to have it before? And I would say, you don't have to have it. It's your choice as a culture what you want to do. And then in this case, you don't have to have it and don't have to start it now if you choose. There are going to be regulations for federal contractors, federal employees. But remember, that doesn't mean you can discriminate, right?
Right.
All we're saying is that you still cannot discriminate because that changes to harassment. And so there is a lot of confusion right now. There is a lot of things. I would simply tell 80% of the state, which is small business employers, just continue doing what you do best. Most of you do not have DEI programs, and you don't have to have DEI programs. So you have to follow the state laws, you have to follow the EEOC rules, and you do have to obviously do the right thing.
Yeah,
and if you remember that, that's it. That's really, it's that simple.
Yeah. Isn't that what freedom's all about? If a company wants to institute a DEI policy, they have a right to do that. They're a private corporation. And if that's what they believe is in the best interest of their corporation, then they should be allowed to do that. And you know, then the public can decide whether they want to do business with a company that does this kind of hiring. But the fact is, that's freedom. You should not be mandated to do these crazy kind of things. Our government is in every orifice of our being, and we're just tired of it. Our founders fought the revolution to stop the tyranny of the government, and now we've just traded a monarchy for what we have now, a bunch of wackadoodles in every capital in this country who think by virtue of being elected, they somehow have intellectual powers greater than they once possessed. If a company wants to institute DEI policies to hire, God love them. That's their business. They're a private organization. But the government shouldn't be involved in this kind of stuff. And I have no problem with it. If I know you have DEI policies, I won't shop with you because I don't believe in it. I think we should have merit-based hiring.
Absolutely.
And that should be it. And, you know, I believe that we should not have gender or race on applications. I believe people should just put out their qualifications and let HR decide who meets what we're looking for. I said this to someone recently I do a TV show with, and he said, well, that's what all racists say.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, your application, I'm just going to say, should not be asking these questions. But from that standpoint, the bottom line at the end of the day is that there is common sense, though. We've all talked about the fact that common sense is uncommon. And so, you know, let's hire the right people you need for the business. Look, I can tell a quick story. Yesterday, I was advising a nonprofit organization in the Northeast. I think I'll leave it wide enough to make it really bland, in the Northeast. And you had half the board that wanted it and half the board that didn't. And there was this massive infighting going on. That is not helpful, right? That is just not helpful. And so I'll go back to, what is the mission of your organization? What are you looking to do? Focus on that. Focus on the right talent, right? And if, you know, having fights over things that are not moving the business forward in its operations is harmful and only hurts them, because the other side is not evil. Neither side is evil from that perspective. They just have two different viewpoints. Just two different viewpoints.
I just don't know why it matters. When I was an employer, I had black folks, I had gay folks, I had white folks, I had women, I had men, and I had one standard. We have clients who need a job done, just get the job done. You know, we opened up at 7. Typically, people left around 3, but I used to say to them, you need to go out for a doctor's appointment or your kid. I don't care. It's not about spending time in the office. It's about getting the job done. And we I didn't know until later on they made me aware, at one point, 25% of our employment was gay, because that was back in the time, this was in the 90s, where that wasn't the cool thing. And so we hired a couple of people who were gay. I didn't know one way or the other, didn't care. They did a good job. And then they put the word out to their friends that, hey, this is a place you could come and be treated decently, which is, get the job done, we'll pay you well, and that's it. It's all I care about. You're not my family, you know? Whatever you do in your life is your business. You're just there to do the job we need done so our clients could be happy. And that was the way it was. And now we've turned it into, I don't even understand. You know, if somebody's a great chef, does it matter if they're gay or straight or black or white? Because people don't care if you're black or white or gay or straight. They come to your restaurant because you have a great chef.
Yeah. So bizarre. So simple, yeah. Right? So simple, yeah. Right? So
you know what else is simple? We got to run. Dave, we love you, man. I'm sorry about 2 weeks ago, and I meant to call you.
No worries.
But,
no worries.
You know, I'm old, and I'm feeble, and it is what it is.
And those are both not true.
I'm old, man. I'm 63. I'm old, brother.
No. You're 6.3.
Yeah, 6.3. Ooh, 3. I'm Ray 6.3. I like that. Ray 6.3.
I told you, when I turned version 6.0 last year, and you know, I'm just version 6.0.
There you go.
And
I love that.
You know my wife. I act 6, so that's not inaccurate.
5.0.
Yeah, there we go. No doubt. Dave, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
See you, Dave.
We got to run.
Have a great day, guys. Take care.
See you.
We fix people by fixing their car. I like being part of that.
It's a great feeling knowing that you've done something that looks good and you know the customer is going to be happy with.
We're doing great. I love my job. I love what I do and all my coworkers.
All the women that work here are fantastic and they want to be part of something bigger.
My future looks great at Moody's. The sky's the limit here.
If you're looking for a job and a great opportunity in a career, we're hiring at Moody's.
64 people on the plane that's now in 3 pieces in the water.
This is devastating. It's, we are all hurt.